Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to be joined by some folks from YMCA South Coast to talk about the upcoming spinathon and how you can take part, even if you're not a YMCA member, but how you can spin to win. Well, help them win, help them raise some funds, but also help you get some great exercise. And you know, whenever you take part in something like that, it really does feel pretty good. I avoided that kind of stuff because for a long time I was out of shape. I mean, I'm still not in shape, but for a long time it was something I couldn't do. I took part in that 5K back in the fall and I was like, I'm going to do more of this stuff. So I don't know what I'm necessarily going to do spinathon. I don't know if I'm up to an hour of bicycling yet, but certainly want to start getting involved in more things like that, because not only is it fun and helps people out, it's a great motivator too. 508-996-0500. We're going to jump right back into the calls because the phone lines are lit up, but we've got some room for you there. You can also send app chat messages on the open line voicemail. Send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. I didn't get 3 minutes, but I wanted to say to you, I didn't mean whatever I said wasn't a swear, but what I was trying to say was that it's not, people are getting hired on jobs that aren't qualified, mm-hmm. and they're getting the jobs by who they know, and it's not right. Okay, that's all I'm saying, and that goes on a lot.
I knew that's what you meant, yeah.
In City Hall, that's all over the place in City Hall. It's always been that way. Okay, so that's what I'm saying. And the man who spoke before Mary is right on the money. Okay, I'm in his backyard about the roads. I'm so tired of these roads. It hurts my back. You don't know. I'm sick of it. Another thing is, and he says it's going to be done in the spring. It's on the list. It's on the list. All I hear is it's on the list. I want to go right in that City Hall right now and face him, okay?
Well, I don't think he's here today. I did it again. I'm sorry, Shawnee. I did not mean to hang up on you. That was my fault. I just pressed the wrong button as I'm putting all the other callers on hold. So I know it would be a third call, but you could call back and finish your thought if you want to. But I got your point. You want to go down to the City Hall. Let's just say don't go there today because the mayor's out of town. But what I would suggest is that, if there's this list, maybe they should publish that list and let people know. You know, a rough approximation of when certain roads are going to get handled, because they say they have a formula, but we don't see that formula. We get told in advance when they're going to be working on the roads in the construction report, but not the long-term plan. So, maybe that would help kind of ease some folks' minds. Maybe they haven't gone that far into the determination yet, and they've only determined what's the, immediate next 10 or 20 projects as opposed to, everything all laid out. All right. So I apologize, Shawnee, and I didn't mean to hang up on you. See, I'll just explain it to you so that if it happens to you, you understand what's going on. There's two rows of buttons. If I press one row of buttons to put somebody on hold, it cuts off the caller that is currently on the air and goes to the person I just put on hold. If I press the other column of buttons, it allows me to put that person on hold without interrupting the person that's speaking. I'm pressing the wrong button today for some reason, and I have no idea why. That's why you hear the clicks sometimes over the air, because when you hear the click, it's because we're putting somebody in the background. And I'll eventually go into the software here for the phone and figure out how to turn that sound off so that everybody doesn't hear it. But that's the problem here. You know, we weren't trained in these phones. They were just installed, and they're like, you'll figure them out. They're pretty intuitive. I was like, is there a manual? You could probably find one online. Okay, well, so I apologize. I don't mean to keep hanging up on people today. 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM, and I'm going to try not to hang up on you.
Hey, Tim, just so you know, it's like that in the medical field as well. You get new equipment and you're like, have at it. You know, whatever shift you come in, you're learning. You're just learning on the fly.
That sounds a lot more dangerous in that business than it is in this one, though.
I wasn't cutting people open, but you know what I mean? It would be like, here's a whole new, you know, setup, and you had to just figure it out. If somebody happened to be there that had used it before, they might show you, but you know, I worked independently out and around all different facilities, and that's the way it was. Yeah. And, you know, you had to figure it out, and I'm not honestly that great with technology. So it was interesting, but anyhow, everyone's still alive. So, what Mary was saying about party affiliation, I have to partly agree with her. I think you shouldn't have to pick a party. I don't like the automatic, you know, you go to the registry, surprise, you know, you're listed with another party. That happened to me this year. They switched me to not party, but to my other address.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I haven't lived there in 20 years. Like, I'm still here. What happened? Like, what happened with that? But so I had to undo it. Had I not known, well, they did send me a card, you know, from the state, Galvin, you know, saying, oh, da da da, you're registered. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not registered over there. So I had to go and undo it. That I don't like. But I don't like the whole party system at all. I don't think if you're unenrolled, you should have to choose a ballot. I don't think anybody should have to choose a ballot. I feel there shouldn't be parties, period. This is me. I'm running. This is what I want to see done. This is what I intend to work for. And you choose who you want. What if you want, you know, as it stands, you have to choose the entire down ballot. Maybe that's not what you're looking for. Maybe you want one over here and one over there. I feel like it's too divisive. Then it causes people to try to buy the elections. And it's like sports teams. You're trying to get your team to win. It's like, wait a minute. Aren't we all Americans? So let's. The way I think.
Well, I understand the reason why they have these need for parties is so that you get party support when you're running for an office, and you know, party platforms, and so it kind of helps, you know, that way there you can almost say, I know about this candidate, and even though I don't know anything about who they are, I see the R or the D next to their name, so I know that they align with, you know, the kind of things that I believe
exactly
in.
What I feel is wrong with the system, because nobody from out of their own brain. To me, that's just laziness. It's like, learn who the person is, learn what their ideals are, learn their vision for whatever office they're trying to hold. And I think we'd be in a lot less trouble, because I think that's the problem. Mayor Mitchell has said it on the radio himself numerous times. He's going to vote right down the party line. I'm like, well, you've got some pretty lousy people. I'm not saying in the city in general, but I'm saying this, that is no way to vote. To me, that's just what's wrong with the whole system. No, you don't just go check, check, D, 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 or libertarian all the way down the ballot. There's some lousy libertarian candidates, I'll admit it. But ideally, their vision, more freedom, less government, is my kind of way that, you know, it should be governed. So obviously I'm not living in, you know, in a country where that's happening at all. But I'm just saying, I think the parties is where the money and buying, you know, alliances, basically, it's just, it's backfiring and it's becoming too divided. And that's, we're in a big problem because of that.
No, but, I would agree.
You know, but I don't see it changing anytime soon, at least not in Massachusetts. All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you. Have a good day. And 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hello. On the question of the people that could not get the ballot that they wanted, mm-hmm. the Republican ballot, they could have taken the Democrat ballot and write in the particular person. I assume they wanted to do the president and write them in, and then you have to color in the dot. You just can't write in. It won't count.
Well,
color in the little dot.
So the problem is the ballots are all designated for the party in a primary, so you couldn't write it in and have it still count as, you know what I mean? Like, if you are enrolled as a Republican, you could probably do that if you were unenrolled and you wanted to take the Democrat ballot and do it. But if you're a Republican, they have to give you the Republican ballot, so they don't have that option.
When I read it, it says you can't do non-committed. It gave the directions right on it. I thought you could put anybody you want.
But getting the ballot handed to you was the issue. You can write whatever you want on the ballot. It's getting that ballot handed to you. So they can only hand you whatever you are designated as, yeah, or what you choose if you're unenrolled. Now, the other problem with it, too, is you've got the other races that are on there, too. So it's not, you know, if you are, like we heard Joanne Hodgson on with Chris yesterday, she's running for Republican State Committee. You know, she doesn't want to have to depend on folks taking a Democrat ballot and putting her name in, because what are the chances people are going to do that down ballot? They're going to vote for the president, and then they're going to move on and say, oh, well, they screwed me up this time. So I think that you know, it really does matter to have the right ballot. And the really funny thing here is, ma'am, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. There's no excuse for it. So it's kind of a moot point. The problem is they screwed up, and they shouldn't have screwed up.
I can't believe that they can't count how many ballots they need for that particular precinct. And if they're Republican and Democrat or Green or whatever party you are, have it there and have somebody double check that's sitting there all day doing practically nothing. Let them count before anything happens.
Yeah, I mean, they were supposedly supposed to make sure that they had enough before they opened. But also, who was the person in charge of packing that stuff up? You know, and why is it that this precinct keeps having issues? What is the problem here? Is it the precinct captain? Is it the warden for that ward? Is that what's the problem here? I know that, you know, the statement threw the warden under the bus, but, you know, at some point, just like people are saying, well, Mayor Mitchell needs to do something about the election commissioner. Well, maybe the election commissioner needs to do something about the warden then, if that's the issue. But I'm waiting to see if maybe the warden calls in to explain their side of things.
Well, when they changed my precinct from where I was, the ward, and I had to go down to a different ward now. Very inconvenient. It's like over a half a mile from my house. The other one was two blocks away. But when I go in, they go, choose the ballot you want. It's like, yeah, I can't just choose anything. There was a green, there was a purple one, I remember, one time. And they said, choose the one you want. It was like, no, that's not the way this works.
Well, it is if you're unenrolled.
I wasn't unenrolled, and they knew it.
So I would double check and make sure that they have everything right in the system then.
Because I had the one in my hand, the Democrat one in my hand, and she says, you can choose whatever you want. Like, I could put that down and choose. And it was like, no, I was surprised they said,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would double check with the election commission office and just make sure that they have you down for the party that you want to be.
Yes, and a man came out, well-dressed, an older man, and he took my ballot. And he, like, was going to help me put it through the machine as if I didn't know. I've been voting for over 50 years. And he looked at it. He scanned it and then turned it around to look at my questions. It's like he had no right to touch the ballot. That is part of the law, I believe.
I mean, I've had people stand there and kind of help me through, but I don't think they're taking the time to read and make any notes.
This guy was curious. He wanted to know what I was voting about.
Well, I mean, I mean, maybe in that situation, you can, you know, call that attention to one of the poll workers and say, you know, you want another ballot.
No, but it was all right. It was like it went through. I made sure it went to the machine because he goes, you can go now. But nope, I waited till it rolled in and see what my number was, because that's what I like to go midway to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to see how many people have voted too. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You have a good day.
You too.
And I mean, I don't hide. Like, I'm not. Whatever I voted, I don't care if anybody knows. So I don't really pay attention to that kind of stuff. So, I mean, maybe it's happened more than I've realized, and I just don't catch it because I'm, you know, usually having conversation with the person and, you know, joking around. Like, I make the same jokes all the time, especially when it's the same people that I see every time, you know, because I just make dad jokes. And so I always be like, okay, just make sure my hand doesn't go into, you know, just try to break up their day a little bit, because I'm sure it gets monotonous for them. And also because I think that I'm way funnier than I am. So I probably haven't paid enough attention to that. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Excuse me. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, yesterday I called you about the ballot that when I went to go vote.
Yes.
That didn't have it for me. So a quick update. I went back and I did vote and they had enough ballots yesterday. 1-1-D, which we're talking about now this morning.
So let me ask you a question, because the what we were told was that there was, let me give you the exact number here. We were told that there was, let me give you the final number from the final statement that they sent out was, eight voters. Do you know how many people were in that same situation as you in the morning? Do you have a rough idea of how many people were looking for Republican ballots when you were there?
I think it was only two or three, like before.
Okay.
I didn't hang around that long, about 10 minutes. I waited around to see if something was going to change within those 10 minutes because I had to go to work. I was just told to come back later because they didn't have a ballot. But on my way to work and listen to your show and stuff, I found out that it was, I think it was like 45 minutes later or something.
Yeah.
That we were able to get the ballot. So I think like by 7:45, they had Republican ballots. But by the time I got there, it was like 7:05. I think I was the first one to walk through the door, or maybe the second or third person to walk through the door. And that's when I found out there was no Republican ballots. I was told to come back later.
And when you went back, did anybody ask you if you had been there earlier? Did they remember that you had been there earlier? Like, was there any...
They remembered me all right, because, I mean, I was like you. I was like cracking some jokes. I was talking about how could this happen again, and... I mean, I didn't make a scene or anything like that, but I just illustrated my frustration with this system here and everything else. So, I mean, there was a police officer there and everything else. And so I did make some comments about our election system, that we could put a man to the moon, but we can't get our voting system to be corrected, you know? And so they knew I was coming back. I told them I was. And as soon as I walked through the door, like, oh, he's back! So, so they knew I was coming. That as soon as I walked through the door, they knew I was coming back to vote.
I just want to make sure,
because
I just want to know what their methodology was for knowing, you know, who didn't get to vote and if they came back or not. Because they're telling us it was only eight people that were affected and seven of them came back.
Yeah, I mean, I heard a number of maybe 11 or something, but I'm not sure if somebody kept tabs of. Call it.
Yeah, 11 was...
Because what happened? Because before you vote, Tim, they ask you, okay, what's your street number and stuff? You go to that person in line, and then they look for your name, and they cross off your name, and then they give you a ballot. So I don't know if that was the same situation where people came in, they asked for the street number, because they don't ask you right away what party affiliation you are. They first ask you, okay, what's your street and stuff?
Right.
And your name. And then they give you a ballot. So maybe that's how they kept track of things, of maybe who came to their and then crossed off the name or something, and then I asked for a ballot and they couldn't get one. Maybe that's how they kept track of things. I heard it was like 11.
Yeah, well, that's what they told Leo Chiquette when he was there. But then that number dwindled as the statements came out through the course of the day. I got to hold you there, Paul, but thanks so much for the call, and thank you for letting us know yesterday.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day. And I do have to take a break here. When we come back on the other side, Phil will give us the news, and then we can take your calls, 508-996-0500. You can also send those app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
Nikki Haley is ending her presidential run. A Christian university fined for suppressing sexual assault. And a first lady is being remembered on a new stamp.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Republican Nikki Haley is ending her campaign for the presidency. The former South Carolina governor picked up just one win on Super Tuesday, that being in Vermont. Her exit sets the stage for a Biden-Trump rematch. Haley's expected to deliver remarks in her home state later this morning. The House is unveiling a bipartisan bill to ban TikTok. Mark Mayfield has the story.
On Tuesday, both the Democrat and Republican House reps introduced a bill that would force TikTok to separate from its Chinese-owned parent company, ByteDance, or be banned in the U.S. The bill gives ByteDance 5 months to divest from TikTok before the ban would go into effect. The House Energy and Commerce Committee will consider the bill on Thursday. I'm Mark Mayfield.
A U.S. Strategic Command civilian employee appeared in federal court Tuesday, accused of sharing classified information on a foreign dating app. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel David Franklin Slater was arrested over the weekend on three charges, including conspiracy to disclose national defense information. He pled not guilty to allegedly communicating with someone claiming to be a woman from Ukraine, sharing sensitive information picked up in classified briefings on Russia's invasion. Slater faces up to 10 years in prison for each charge and a fine of up to $250,000 if fully convicted. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the wildfires that have torched the panhandle are nothing short of catastrophic. He toured the area scorched by the Smokehouse Creek fire yesterday via helicopter. The Smokehouse fire is now the largest in Texas history. Liberty University is being hit with the largest penalty in U.S. Department of Education's history. According to the sanction announced Tuesday, the Virginia school will pay a $14 million fine for creating a culture that suppressed those that were looking to report sexual violence. The Christian University will be under federal monitoring through April 2026 and is required to spend $2 million over the next 2 years for on-campus safety improvements and compliance enhancements. And the U.S. Postal Service is issuing a stamp honoring former First Lady Betty Ford. Michael Kastner reports.
The official unveiling takes place this afternoon at the White House with First Lady Jill Biden and Postmaster General Louis DeJoy. Ford served as First Lady from 1974 to 1977 and went on to raise awareness of addiction issues, serving as the first chair of the Betty Ford Center. I'm Michael Kastner.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
The Celtics were on a hot streak until last night when they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers 105-104. They were away to play the Denver Nuggets on Thursday. The Boston Bruins lost to the Edmonton Oilers 2-1. They host the Toronto Maple Leafs on Thursday. And the Red Sox play the Minnesota Twins at spring training today at 1.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Dealing with patchy fog out there, temperatures in the mid-40s, cloudy skies will prevail. As we head into the afternoon, rain heavy at times, temperature in the lower 50s. Patchy fog once again overnight tonight, rain heavy at times, potential for thunderstorms. The temperature will be dipping into the mid-40s. And then as we head into tomorrow, lower 50s, with that wind out of the north. We are under a flood watch as of this afternoon through tomorrow morning. Be sure to watch ABC6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Cecilia Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Sparks Auto Dartmouth, home of the $29 oil change. Your choice for auto repairs, brakes, and inspection stickers. Sparks Auto, 425 State Road, Dartmouth. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got...
You're listening to The Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500.
Man, I'm just hitting wrong buttons right and left today. What's going on with me? I did have a drink when I got home yesterday, but it was just one. Just one, because it was a day. It was a day yesterday. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I'm from out of town, and I'm listening to what's going on in New Bedford there with all these different precincts and everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
I live over towards the Swansea area, and we have one building that they opened up. It's like a school gymnasium, and there must be 15 different precincts in there in one building.
Wow.
You go in, and I walked in, and I looked at it, and she said, well, you know, I said, what precinct? She said, your street to there. Just you go to the precinct, whatever your street is, you go to that particular precinct. And everything was done in one building, and everything was so nice. In New Bedford, it's like, they got a problem with this one, a problem with that one. If everything was in one building, then there'd be a problem in one building. You know?
Right, but the problem is in New Bedford, there's a lot of people that don't have, you know, obviously you live in a community where many people have cars. I would say a majority of people have cars. In New Bedford, there's still a lot of people that depend on public transportation or don't have their own.
Why couldn't they run a shuttle bus for one day to shuttle the ones that want to go vote?
Yeah, but I mean, I think that would make it so that a lot of people wouldn't vote. I mean, we had the issue here in New Bedford. I don't know if you heard about it, but there was the Tabor Mills complex where they had moved voting out of that complex, and people were upset because they didn't want to vote unless they could just go downstairs in their own building and vote. I mean, that's kind of, you know, the way that New Bedford has always gone, so that's the way people are used to.
And the other thing I want to mention, Tim, just real quick, you know, these businesses that in New Bedford and Fall River, they're going to put all these businesses out of business. You know, first of all, like New Bedford, they're having the NIP problem. You know what I mean? They want to get away with it. There's a lot of money involved there in package stores, you know?
Yeah.
Down in Fall River yesterday or the day before, what the problem is down there is these businesses pay taxes to have their businesses in the city. They're taking away their trash and their recyclables away from them. They're not going to be picked up by the businesses anymore. So they'll have to pay for dumpsters or whatever, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of municipalities where businesses have to pay for commercial trash hauling. That happens here in New Bedford, too. But I think what ends up happening, and Mayor Mitchell's pointed this out before, if you leave it up to people to take care of it themselves, that's how trash ends up sitting around and nobody picks it up. And that's what's going to happen with these businesses.
Well, that's correct. And Barry asked me yesterday, are they going to subtract that from their taxes? Of course not.
No.
Of course not. You know, such the country we live in. I just want to mention that, and you have a good day.
Thanks, you as well. And going back to that idea of having, you know, centralized voting, I don't think that would work in New Bedford anyway, because, yeah, if you look at the turnouts that we've had for the last couple of elections, especially municipal ones, yeah, you could probably get everybody in one building. But when it comes to, you know, what'll probably happen in November when there's a presidential election, I would hope that it would, you know, we'd be looking at 20% plus turnout. You know, that's a lot of people. If you've got almost 70,000 registered voters in New Bedford, which, again, I don't know that I necessarily believe that number. I think that it's got to be lower. I just feel like if you've got 101,000 people living in the city, which I think was the last census number, to think that 70% of those people are registered voters, it just doesn't sound right to me. But if that's, you know, the number of people that you had wanting to come out and vote, say it was even a quarter of that, that's a lot of people trying to go to one location. So I think that's why, you know, in a city like New Bedford, you have to have multiple precincts, multiple locations. I can tell you that in Wareham, they have six precincts and they had six polling locations for the longest time. But then what happened was there were places that didn't want to have to give up their building for a day for voting. The Elks Club, which is where I voted for a number of years, they decided they didn't want to have to shut down for the day to allow for voting. People couldn't go and use the bar and they couldn't have events and things like that. So they didn't want to shut down and lose that day. So they had to move Precinct 6 out of there. They had it in the gymnasium of the Minot Forest Elementary School, but then they didn't want to have it in the school anymore. And then they ended up building the new elementary school. They used to have Precinct 4, I believe, in the Deacus Elementary School, but now that school has been closed down because now they just have one elementary school in town. And Deacus is now being utilized for police training, law enforcement training, I believe, and then it's going to become a community center. So they didn't want to use that. I'm sure once it's a community center, they can go back to holding voting there. But instead, they put two precincts into the Redmond Hall. And so now what we basically have is we have, out of those six precincts, two of them are in the Redmond Hall, two of them are in the town hall, and two of them are in the Ethel Hammond School in Onset, which is also no longer a school. It's more of a community center type place. So you've got six precincts now in three buildings. And it seems to work out okay, but I don't think that that could work in New Bedford. I mean, in some places in New Bedford, yeah, there's more than one precinct in that building. So, for example, at Alma Del Mar, they have a couple of precincts in the same building. And that can certainly happen. But I just don't think New Bedford could have, with how big the city is, how many precincts there are, I don't think you could have everything in one building. As much as it would make it more convenient for the election commission to only have to bring things to one location, I don't think that that's feasible. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, I'm on?
I believe so. It sounds like you.
Yeah. It does sound like it. Yo, I got a question, right? I'm coming down Route 18 down in New Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming up to Acushnet Avenue, right? Cogsdale Street. Have you noticed, I don't know if you drive around the area, but anyways, at the end of 18, Acushnet Avenue, Cogsdale Street, you got a bunch of what looks like to be like a little homeless community of tents popping up in there.
Yeah.
I believe it's state property because it's right there, you know, the on-ramp and off-ramp to 195. But what are we going to do about that? Like, that's just going to stay as is? Like, that's an eyesore. Like, what is New Bedford? What's the state going to do to get these people, you know what I mean, a little bit more out of sight? Like, I want to help them out. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to make them disappear and forget about them. You know what I mean? They need the services. Let's get them the services. But why is the city allowing these people to camp out right by a major road, a major intersection? And that area is like one of the worst areas for accidents, Sawyer and Cogsdale. So, like, I almost just hit a lady right now passing Sawyer and Cogsdale, and she was coming from the tents. And the problem is, it's not just adults. They got little kids with them.
Right.
That's the problem, guys. And so what are we doing to address that?
I think you hit the nail on the head there that it's, if it's state property, the state has to be the ones to come down and do it, and they just probably haven't come down to do anything yet. I know that folks have gone down there from some of the services and gone down there and talked with those folks, but I think I think if it's state property, you know, the city's hands are kind of tied. They can go down there and they can say, we'll give you a ride over, we'll help you out, but I don't think that the city can evict them if it's not city property.
Is that right? Okay, so it is state property. Okay.
I don't know. I'm assuming, so, you know, the same thing you're saying. It's because it's the base for those ramps. It's where the pillars are for those ramps. So I believe.
Exactly. No, I got you. It's what I thought. Yeah. All right. Hey, how much did Trump win by?
When I went to bed last night, it was something like 60% to 30-something percent.
60 to 30.
Let me see if I'll see if I can get you the final number.
Yeah, I really thought here in Mass, Nikki was gonna pull out a miracle. You know, pull a rabbit out of the hat over here. But I guess that wasn't in the cards for her.
I thought it would be a little closer, but I figured Trump would win. But I thought it might be a little bit closer than that. But
yeah, but considering the moderates and the blue dog Democrats here, and a lot of the left leaning independents, I would have thought it would have went to Haley.
Well, my guess was that a lot of the people who are unenrolled, because there's most people in Massachusetts are unenrolled, I assumed a lot of them would take the Republican ballot and vote for Nikki Haley because, you know, they're just trying to be disruptive.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I think the independent kind of like broke even amongst all the candidates, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens in November, though, because, you know, a lot of folks feel like this might be the time that Donald Trump could win Massachusetts. But we'll see what happens. I think it's a tough obstacle to overcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Reagan, I think I called in a few weeks ago and reminded you or one of your other co-hosts, one of the other guys there, that Trump's going to come close. Reagan won in the 80s, and I think Trump's going to come really close. I'm not saying Democrats are going to lose, but I think it's going to be like 50-50, you know, either side. And I'm a lifelong Democrat, changed to independent. I've never voted Republican. I did yesterday, and there's tons of me out there.
All right. Thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Hey, have a good one, man.
I got to take a break. Caller, hang on. We will get to you as soon as we come back. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. How are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. That gentleman that just called up about the tents,
mm-hmm.
I called in last week, told him there was two, and I went by this morning. Now there's a third one that popped up, and this third one is pretty close to the exit coming off of 18, picking up 195. And I'd hate to see if someone was in there at night bunkering down to get some drunk maybe on the road taking the exit. Doesn't make it run right into the tent.
But, right. Or is looking at their phone or something. It could take, you know, the dumbest little thing could lead somebody to go off the road. Yeah.
I mean, like I say, there was two there. Now I went by this morning. There's another one. I mean, whether it's state property, city property, state police ought to go in there and just tell them, hey, pack it up and get out of here, you know? Before you know it, summertime's coming. We're going to have tourists coming down here. We don't need to look at that. And on top of that, they live like bums. There's papers all over the place. I mentioned I was over in Fall River picking up that Route 81 exit onto 195. There has to be at least 12 tents in there. And the debris and litter, it's a mess. I mean, granted, when the leaves come out on the trees, you're not going to see it, but you don't.
I wonder if anybody's alerted the state police barracks in Dartmouth, because, you know, they could be the ones to come along and move them if it's state property. They'd be the ones that are responsible for patrolling that. I would assume somebody has. They've been there for a little while now.
Well, I mean, even if a state trooper was on duty and he saw it, he should go over there and say something, you know?
Sure. I gotta hold you there, but thank you for the call.
Yep, you bet. Have a good day.
You too. And let me see if I can squeeze in another quick one here before I have to take my final break of the hour. You are next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How's it going?
So I just read from New Bedford Light, and it says that New Bedford Election Commission is calling Trump for 79%.
In New Bedford, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. That was from New Bedford Light.
I would assume that because you know, there's a lot of Republican areas in the city that Trump did very well in the past. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day.
You as well. I would have thought, you know, Nikki Haley would have done better overall in Massachusetts. I still didn't think she would have won, but I thought she would have been, you know, better overall. And again, because of the fact that there were probably a lot of unenrolled voters that took that ballot, like myself, you know, a lot of people who said, I'm going to go for the more interesting race. And I would assume that if those people are unenrolled and they're taking that because it's the more interesting race, that they're probably not Trump voters. Just because if they were, they would probably be taking the Republican ballot. They'd be registered Republicans. You know, the majority. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not trying to speak in absolutes. But that just would have been my rationale for thinking that the number would have been a little bit higher. But now the question becomes, how many of those people that voted for Nikki Haley are actual Nikki Haley supporters? How many of them are actually conservatives that will vote for the Republican candidate? You know, all right, so, you know, the person I was voting for didn't win, so I'm going to vote for the person from my party. How many people are thinking that way? And how many people that were Nikki Haley voters are, you know, people that wouldn't vote for Trump and would vote for Biden now? So that's these numbers are all like there's nothing that you can really extrapolate out from this in an absolute, because there's a lot of questions that remain to be seen. So that's why I find it really interesting the way that it all plays out. But Nikki Haley is expected to pull out of the race today. But I don't think you're going to see her going away. I think you'll see her out there and vocal and keeping herself, you know, keeping a profile out there. Certainly not just for if anything happens in this election, but also because she's young and can set the stage for the future. I mean, comparatively young, you know what I mean? She's got time. She wants to run again in 4 years. She's got some cachet now. And maybe in 4 years, it's time to move to a different type of Republican candidate. So that's why I thought she would hang around longer. But again, you've got to have the money. And I don't think the money's going to be there for her anymore after yesterday. Maybe if she can get a few big donors from Vermont, she could have hung around. But next week, Donald Trump will wrap up the nomination. And then she's really not going to have much support left. So, all right, I got to take a break. We'll be back in a few moments. It's going to wrap things up for this hour. We'll take more of your calls coming up in the next hour. We should have some guests joining us after the 8 o'clock news. But then we will, of course, have a more conversation with you about everything that went on yesterday. And if you had some issues at the polls yesterday in New Bedford, let me know. You can either call in or you can send me an app chat message, or you can email me, tim at wbsm.com. I'm looking into a report of there being some other issues, but...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.